Okay, let's be real. Do you know how much Jesus loves you?
You are being real with Owen Barley.
He's got more for you.
9:30 a.m. exclusively on Impact 103.
Welcome to Impact 103 here on Being Real. I'm Owen Farley. It's amazing to be with you here on this Tuesday morning. I've got some like really interesting things to talk about today. Something that I actually walked through yesterday. And I love bringing in real things that actually happen because we are trying to be real here on this show to challenge the way that we think so that we can be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus, which is love. And I love the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus was really simple. He said it's all about love. And in Luke 10, 27, he replied to someone and he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." And I actually find it so interesting that yesterday, as we finished our time together, we had a listener that actually sent through the scripture, and it was quoted from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And I love it because God really does prepare you. When you are seeking Him and wanting Him to work in your life, when you spend time with Him, He's trying to prepare you to actually live out the Word just like He did, just like His disciples did. And I remember that verse now that says, Jesus said that you will do the same things that I do and even greater things than these. So I actually looked this up after what happened yesterday to me, and it was so interesting to me that this scripture of loving God with everything that you are, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, was the precursor to an amazing story in Luke on how Jesus was saying, this is how you do it. Luke 10, 28. Now I want to read this story to you because it's the story that comes straight after that scripture that we were talking about earlier today about love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I love how Jesus is actually the one that describes how we're supposed to do this. And he's so here in Luke 10, 28, Jesus says, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Enjoy active, blessed, and endless life in the kingdom of God." And he, and this guy that was talking to Jesus, was determined to be acquitted. I love it. And he said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, taking him up, replied, "A certain man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings and beat him and went their way unconcernedly, leaving him half dead as it happened." Now, by coincidence, a certain priest was going down and along the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I wonder how many of us do this. I love how Jesus paints this story so much. A priest and now a Levite. A Levite likewise came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. But then a Samaritan, in other words, a complete stranger, someone who doesn't know him, as he traveled along, came down to where he was. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy for him. And he went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. And then he set him on his own beast, brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, or 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I myself will repay you when I return." And then Jesus asked this question, "Which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers?" And he answered, "The one who showed pity and mercy." And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And this was the story that I actually lived out yesterday. And I'm going to tell you about my experience. So please stay tuned, because it's so fulfilling to see what God actually wants to do through us when we step out in love and as we step out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So stay tuned, because I really want to explain, tell you about what actually happened. There is a line inside that song that says, I want to be your hands and your feet. I want to be known by love. And that's what the gospel is all about. That's what we need to be shining the light for everyone to see. Now, I promised you that I would start to testify about how I started to live out that story of the Good Samaritan. And if you've just joined us here on Impact 103, we've been talking about how can we be the hands and feet? How can we be the Good Samaritan? And the testimony actually kind of started with one of the ladies here at Impact, right here at the studio, noticed someone lying outside the grounds and was just like wondering like, okay, what's actually happening with this guy? And she asked me, please, can you go with me just to check if this guy is okay? So we went outside and as we went through to him, just said, hey, are you okay? He woke up from where he was sleeping. He had no shoes on. His pants were like five times as big as he was. And he actually couldn't put a sentence together. And I'm going to try and condense this because it really took a while to do everything that we needed to do. And this is what it takes to be kind of the Good Samaritan, what I'm testifying about. And we asked him like, are you okay? He couldn't put a sentence together. So we started praying for him, just telling him that Jesus loves him. And we could tell that there was a bit of substance abuse. But I could feel like, okay, it's not alcohol. It's something else. And it feels like, I don't know, there's something else going on. So we went to go and get him something to drink, something to eat to help flush out his system. And as we brought the food back, started asking him, listen, can we pray with you that the power of God can come in to your body and start to change how you're feeling? And he kind of mouthed and like nodded his head, yes, you can. So we laid hands on him. And we loose the Holy Spirit to come and do his work, to come and purify, to come and live inside of his body, inside of his mind. And for the first time, he could start making a sentence that actually made sense. And I said, listen, how do you feel? And he said that this energy just moved right through him, which was so great because when you are, I guess, overdosing, like your body gets really lethargic. And he started making out that he had overdosed on medication. And so I was trying to convince him, listen, it's really important for you to make sure that you get through to the hospital and that you make sure that your body is okay. And as we were talking to him about this, he was just trying to describe his life and what was actually going on with him. And he was still trying to do his thing, but couldn't really, he wasn't comprehensible. So eventually he said, yes, you can take me through to the hospital. And so we went through, tried to find a place near the studio and ended up at Pretoria East Hospital. And they were amazing to actually help us check his vitals, make sure that he was okay. And from then, said, listen, we can't release this guy because during the process, they were starting to question him and found out that he was bipolar, has this disorder, and he doesn't know where his family is, doesn't know where he comes from. He could remember his name and he could remember his birth date, which was fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. But I love how God stopped for him. I love how God really stopped for him, showed him love, got him what he needed. And even on the way through to the hospital, he said to me, I'm so glad that you guys stopped. And this wrecked my heart. I'm so glad that you guys stopped because I don't know what would have happened to me if I just closed my eyes and drifted off. And I love how God does that. I love how God does that for each of us. He stops. He's right there with us. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. And This guy that we took through to the hospital actually was given some food, proper plate of food, taken care of to the point where they're going to look after him for 3 days and just make sure that he's okay and then see what they can do to help him. And that's what love does. Love stops. Love stops for the one. That's what Jesus is doing for us on a constant basis. And it was just such a reminder to me on what we can do, you know, to be really the hands and feet of Jesus. And I must admit, like, after coming back from that experience, I was just asking God, like, I don't know, you know, when you're used by God, you just kind of feel so humbled. You're like, Lord, that the fact that you would use me, the fact that you would use my hands and my feet, like, I know where I've come from, I know what I've been doing, but yet you're still so willing to use me. And sometimes I speak to the Lord just like on a really raw basis, and I say, Lord, why? Why would you trust me with that? Why are you willing to use me? And I actually said this through to my family yesterday, and on two occasions, from two different sources, they said the same thing. And it just like really struck my heart, because I said, Lord, why are you willing to choose me? And their reply to me was, Owen, because you were willing to say yes. And that struck me. I was like, Lord, that is so true. It reminds me of that scripture that says, many are called, few are chosen. God is not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for people that are just like so like superhero-like that they can just do these amazing. It's like, no, he uses normal people. He uses those people that are just willing to say, Lord, I love you. And I want your love to be introduced to someone. I pray that if you could just use me. And then his Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us so that we can be that for others. We can be love. We can be that love. And it says in 1 John that when you show someone love, you're showing them God. You're introducing them to God. And this is kind of the way that I want to live the rest of my life. And I really hope that you feel the same pull to say, Jesus, use me. Here I am, God, use me.
The Word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, this is the challenge.
The challenge.
It's to memorize scripture so that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're equipped with the weapon of the word to stand our ground in the very moment that we need it. It's like a hammer that breaks into pieces even the most stubborn rock of resistance.
And sometimes I feel like, man, there's things that I'm going through that might take a lifetime, but I have to have faith.
Listen. Talk about it.
Every Monday and Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. on Being Real with Owen Farley. You are being challenged to change here on Impact 103. Rise to the challenge.
Welcome to Challenge for Change. This is the time that we've been waiting for. I've got Luke Coe with me here in the studio. And if you've just joined us for Challenge for Change this month, we're at the end of our learning the scriptures process.
Yay.
And I must admit, like, sometimes it's like a real challenge to get it in our heads.
It is, friend. But I must say, the new spin that you brought about, where we have to see these scriptures really applicable in our lives. And in as much as, like I said to you, I'm not good with cramming word for word.
Yeah.
But when you read these scriptures, you meditate on them, and something happens in your life, or you come across, like with myself, I'll tell you a story. If I come across a post, then I'm like, scripture is so evident in these things. Come I'm on. Able to respond much better because I have a better understanding of what scripture says with regard to this. Because especially like in social media, it's very easy to be emotional as opposed to applying scripture.
So you say you actually have a story for us?
I do.
So
somebody wrote, and I actually shared this on my show yesterday, are there prayers that God doesn't answer? Does God answer everyone's prayer?
Ooh.
to that effect?
Okay.
And this gentleman came and answered that. And a Christian lady took that post and she shared it. And she was like, oh, I hate it when Christians feel as if God is only for them. And you know, as if there's anybody else that God wouldn't answer. From that point, I thought to myself, whew, at some point, for me, Romans 8:9 stood out. That, you know, somebody once said, Owen, it's amazing how we want God's things, but we don't want God.
Wow.
He says we have a tendency to want all these miracles and all these manifestations, but, and at the end, you look at it and you think to yourself, you just want his things. You don't want him.
Exactly.
That's where it hits you hard.
Yes.
That's the spin in your life. That's what makes you not understand why certain prayers are not answered.
Yes, exactly. It's about knowing the person. It's the person of who God is.
Exactly.
Like actual relationship.
Not that he wouldn't do it for you.
Yes.
Not that he wouldn't do it. Mm. But are you in that position that he should actually do that for you?
Yes. Like, is your heart saying, okay, God, if you're real, really show me. Like, if you actually are going to be doing these things, let me be like,
do you have that much authority? Do you have Christ?
Yeah.
You know, and Romans 8, but you're not living the life of the flesh. You're living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you, yeah. In other words, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Come on.
In other words, he does not belong to Christ. Yeah. And is not truly a child of God. Mm. And it's so easy for us to just use an umbrella because, hey, it makes everybody feel good. It makes everybody feel better. But it's not me that's saying you're not a child of God because I've decided
it's the Bible.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's actually God saying, listen, if you want to look like me, you have to, love looks like something.
Because that was the premise, because that was the premise of our argument that we're all God's children.
Yes.
But is that what scripture truly says?
Yeah. It kind of reminds me that Jesus died for everyone. He died for the world.
Of course.
No, not to condemn the world, but so that everyone will live that believes in.
Mm-hmm.
But then in John 1, it actually speaks about how those that believe in Jesus are actually now have the right to be called the sons of God.
Yep.
And it's like comes down to that belief. It's like, okay, this person died for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just like make it personal. It's like someone died for you.
Yep.
Like, wow.
Think about it this way as well, friend. We have a lot of our young people and ourselves who no longer have homes, not because our parents are not there anymore, but because of a whole lot of things that troubles us. And what this is saying in this discussion we're having for me is, you cease to be a child of that household because you decide to be a child of the street or whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
And you are ultimately, he died for you, but have you taken a hold of the opportunity to actually be a son of the house, to be his son?
You know, I'm actually so glad that you brought this up today, because something that was on my heart was the fact that we have the choice to either be in the spirit or in the flesh.
Exactly.
And the whole point of Challenge for Change this month has been learning about the Holy Spirit and dedicating ourselves to actually being controlled by and led by the Spirit. And I actually came across this amazing scripture in Galatians 6 verse 8. It says, "For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life."
Exactly.
So we have this choice constantly. Am I going to be living by the Spirit, or am I going to be living by the flesh?
But the benefit of the Spirit is at our disposal.
Yes.
The choice then is made by us.
Yes.
Whether or not we want to live in the Spirit.
Yes. And that's the amazing thing, is that we, at any moment, we can stop and say, God, I'm tired of this,
of course,
the way that I've been living. I don't want to live by the flesh anymore. I don't want to be gratifying that. I can see how it's destroying my life, how it's bringing death into my relationships, death into my finances, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But now I'm choosing that I believe in you and I want to fix my relationship with you, Jesus. Show me how I can do this.
The choice is all the difference, friend. That point of making that choice is all the difference. A friend showed me yesterday a picture of her cousin. And I was like, oh, he looks like a... He says to me, no, my sister was visiting him at a rehab. He was a Nyaube boy.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy doesn't look like a Nyaube boy. She says to me, oh, let me show you how he looked in December.
I love it.
Friend, what a difference.
Thank
what a difference.
You, Jesus.
And he says to me, she says to me, he actually approached the family in December and said, I'm ready to change.
Wow.
I need you guys to help me out.
Wow.
And they moved him from KZN to Pretoria to help
him
out with
that. Come on, man. I love it. You see, like, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like it says in one of the scriptures we've been learning, John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life.
Yep.
He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There's no profit in it. But the truth, the words that you are speaking to me, give me spirit and life. And we can see it. We're not just talking about something that is just like, oh, this is great.
These scriptures are evident in our everyday life.
They're working. They're quick and powerful. So if you want to join us in this challenge, we're seeing the change in our lives. We're seeing God move through these scriptures in our actual lives. And if you want to join, please contact us here on Impact 103 and we'll speak to you about it. Just contact us on 071-364-0376 and we can like encourage each other to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about being perfect. It's not about saying the right things, doing the right things. It's about the process of changing into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. So thanks for joining us for Challenge for Change. And that's actually all the time that I have for you today. And it's been absolutely an honor to be with you here on Being Real. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that you actually feel that you could just feel inspired to be someone that God can use to stop for the one, you know, the most important person in your life is the person that God puts in front of you at that moment. And I think that this is something that I've really learned. It's something that my spiritual parents always say to me is just, Owen, if God puts you in front of one person, just stop for them. Give them everything that they need. Your undivided attention. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to be the one that moves through you. Thank you so much for joining me on Being Real. And I just want to remind you, please keep your relationship with God real. Keep it honest. Keep it authentic. That's really where He starts moving in your life. And just also remember that Jesus really does love you.